Is daf Masechet Nidah is daf Zion, and we bring this to you from outside Chomot, Johannesburg. So, the last thing that we learned yesterday was that there's a difference between Chulin that was Nasa Altairus HaKadosh and Chulin that was Nasa Altairus Truma, that Me'et La'et Shebenidah applies really, according to the second Lashon Ravuna, applies indeed to real Truma. And the example that we had, the Braita that we were asking is Akasha, was not, even though it said Truma, it didn't mean Truma. It meant Chulin Shanasa Altairus Truma. So in other words, we have four levels. Kedesh, Truma, Chulin Shanasa Altairus HaKedesh, Chulin Shanasa Altairus Truma. The upper three are affected by Me'etz Leiser Benita. The lowest one is not affected. Today the Gemara wants to see the consistency of the Dinim that Rav Shmuel Bar Rav Yitzchak was Mechadish yesterday with Rav Shmuel Bar Rav Yitzchak, who accepted this Braita to be a serious Braita, and that he needed to explain it. I'll leave the sheet to everyone, and he answered it. So today, we want to take a look at the Mishnah in Chala. So we are up to five lines up from the bottom of Vav Amid Beit. It's not hot. I'm not Masechet Chala. It says like this. You're handling a dough, and a suffix tuma has affected this dough. Now, once we'll see it's not quite dough yet. Well, that's really a little bit of a machlokas rishonim, but we're handling maybe the flour that was in the dough, but it hasn't yet been a completed dough. So once there's a suffix tuma, forget it. There's no way that that's going to be able to be eaten as truma. Chala is truma, same exact halacha. The problem is that besides the question, however, of whether it can be eaten, there's another question. Because since the Torah says, so we learn from there that it must be talking about two levels of truma. Achat truma Torah, achat truma tmeya, meaning that there's a mechadesh, that even though lamaisa, you are not going to be able to eat this truma, you still are not allowed to be mosif tuma onto this truma. You're going to have to keep it b'mishmeret. Now, the question over here is, do I have a right, despite the fact that I don't have to worry about making the challah inedible after I take it? It's already inedible. So the other issue that's always involved, which is I'm called causing hefset to the kohen. If I would make it, forget about whether I'm being over an iser. Besides the iser begurim tuma, I'm also causing a hefset because now the challah is going to be inedible. In this case, challah is inedible, so forget about that. You're not bequeathed to throw out your flour just because the kohen's not going to be able to eat the challah that's made from your tomei flour. And that's not your responsibility. It's only once it's already truma, then it's your responsibility. In this case, I'm not being mafsid. So here the question is, what point did we have the suffix tuma happen? So if it was ad shelo gilgala, if it was before I actually... Now this is machlokas rishonim. According to Rambam, it means before I actually mix the flour in the water. According to others, it means before I actually finish the entire kneading process. But exactly what that point is and points in between as the Torah brings is really not all that important. What's important to us is the yesod that we're going to see in a moment that comes out from this Mishnah. So depending on when the suffix became chal, say if it was before Gilgal, whatever that means, let's say the mixing. So then teaseh betum'ah. There's no problem of you allowing tuma to touch this mixture. But misha gilgala, if already it was turned into dough, so then that means that I now am essentially touching the material that the challah is already in. Even though I didn't take out the challah. But having made a dough, the moment I make a dough, it's chayav in challah. Whatever that means, making a dough. But whatever Gilgala means, whenever I make the dough, it's chayim and challah. So even though I wasn't kotzeh challah, I didn't take out the challah, nonetheless, I'm not allowed to be matami the dough because it's as if I'm being matami the challah. Now, you'll see immediately when you hear this, so that means even though I'm dealing with chul and I haven't taken out the challah, but since I'm going to be taken out from challah, then for all intents and purposes, I'm treating it as chul and shenas, so there's truma because challah is truma. That's the assumption that we're making now. And it says over here that before such time, it's okay to be gurum to, but once it's already got that challah in it, theoretically, and it's chayav in challah, then it's osur. You must make it b'tahara. Why? Because achelo gilgalatia sebetuma. Why not? It's regular chulin, and it isn't yet chayim v'chala. So once it's chulin, you know, mutar ligrom tuma l'chulin sheba aretz Israel. There's no iser of causing tuma on plain chulin. But once you were in the Galgala, then you are not allowed to make it tame, and it has to be teaseh b'tahorah. Why? Because this is chulin, which is tevulin lechala. It's tevel, because it's got its chala in it, so to speak. That's how we look at every tevel. And therefore, it has a din of kechala dama, which is essentially chulin shenasra al tairas chala, right? Or at least that's what we're assuming. Obviously, we're going to be able to be machalic between the two cases. Right now, we're assuming it's the same thing. And since it's osir ligrom tuma lechala, this is the equivalent of being gerim tuma lechala. Now, so far, nothing to do with our issue, but let's take a look at the analysis in the bright. Tana, v'chalata tluya, lo ochlin v'lo sarfim. This chala, obviously, since it had the original suffix in it that started, so even though over there I didn't add any particular tuma to it, but that doesn't change the fact that it was still a suffix tuma, so because of that suffix tuma, coin's not going to be able to eat it. But on the other hand, you're not sure that it's tuma, so you cannot burn it. But when we say that there was a suffix, what type of suffix are we referring to? Where did we say that it was a suffix that the chala is tuluya and we need to define it that way? A suffix that would only be applicable to chala, but not the type of suffix that would even be applicable to chulin. Now, what do we mean by that? My suffix chala. What would we mean by a suffix that would only be applicable to chala and not to chulin? So Zabaya Varava, look, what we're trying to say is that the bride is coming to clarify. Shalo tomar behochachot shaninu. We're not talking about, we don't want you to make the mistake, that we're dealing with a suffix tuma that is open and apparent. Meaning, let's say, the famous case of Shnei Shvilin. So in Shnei Shvilin, what happens over there is you've got two paths, one of which is Tame and one of which is Tar. Two people walk the two paths, but neither of them remembers whether they went on the high road or they went on the low road. But they do know that they went on the different sides. They both come into Bezdin at the same time. So over there, even though it's a suffix tumah b'shul harabim, because there weren't other people present, Bezdin cannot possibly tell both of them that you're tar. Because you cannot issue a psak with somebody's vadai tummy and say that he's tar. Because they didn't suffer to murderapi. So that is called an absolutely open and clear problem, because we know that tuma exists here. There is not the case that we mean that I need to tell you over here that this is a suffix and the kohen is not allowed to eat it and we don't burn. That's not the case. I'm trying to talk to you about a case of Nish'an. The case of Nish'an is where we have absolutely no proof at all that there is tuma here. Before we talk about the case of Nish'an, let's just remind ourselves of what the din is of a Zov. There's a special new tuma by Zov Zava that is called Hesed. Now over there, if something is supported by the Zov, the weight of something or someone is supported by the Zov, or vice versa, supports the weight of the Zov, so then that thing becomes tummy. So in other words, if let's say you would have a scale, the Zov would be on one side and something would go up on the other side, it would become tummy. It's a whole new type of tumor. What happens if two people are working together at taking something out of the trunk of a car? And this is, I'm lowering it to the ground. It's heavy. So because it's heavy, I might have leaned for a moment on you, or you might have leaned for a moment on me, because generally when something is heavy, the weight isn't automatically distributed. There's a feedback mechanism in which we adjust our weights. So we may not even have noticed that that feedback for a second had pushed me on you or you on me. But if one of them is a Zov, in either one of those cases, the other guy would become tummy because of the acid. Now, I have no proof that that occurred. I'm just saying it might have occurred. That's not called hochachot. So over there, where I've got a problem, where you have. And that's the case of the Mishnah that talks about a Zav and a person who's Tahar, who together were taking something off of a Chamor, or putting something onto a Chamor. So there it says that Bizman Shemasa An Kaved, if they're dealing with a heavy load, then we have to assume that they're Tameh. If the Masa'an is Kal, then it's Tahor. And when we say it's Tameh, by the way, we don't mean it's really Tameh, Stam, to people who are dealing with non-truma. Kulan Tahorin Livnei HaKneset, to guys that are even very, very frum guys. They're the Bnei HaKneset, they're Talmidei Chachamim, and they're careful to keep even the Chulin B'Taira, so they shouldn't be Nichshal in Truma. It doesn't affect them at all. It's only affecting actual Truma. It's Tameim for Truma. Whoops. What do we learn from this Mishnah? That Chulin HaTfulin L'Chala, that was the case. And now we have this bride explaining that case. And we're saying that in that case, we're going to be treating it as something that is challah. The question is that really true? Because can we say chulin hatfulin l'chala or k'chala damu? Does it not say v'atnan, does it not say in the Mishnah that an isha, shehi tvulat yom, here this woman is actually a tvulat yom. So she's a tmei d'oraita, there's no suffix. The din is that she can be lasha et ha'isa. So we would think, okay, so this woman obviously is not allowed to make her dough. Because if she's going to make her dough, the moment that the dough is made, it's going to become a kabel tuma from her. And you just said before that chulin that was tvula l'chala is considered to be the equivalent of real chala, in other words, real truma. And yet here it says, incredibly, that for a woman who's a tfulat yom, who will be matami truma midiraita, actually paso truma midiraita, there's a way for her to take off chala. How can she take off chala? She's not allowed to be matami truma. She can take it off, but making sure she doesn't touch it. So how does she not touch it? Says the Mishnah, she bakes the dough. Oh my God, so that's already touching it, we said. So something's funny. She makes what happens is she makes the dough. She takes off a piece, even though it says kotzim amena chalata, doesn't mean she calls it chala. She takes a piece that she's going to call chala in a moment. She puts it on top of a flat piece of wood of some kind, a tray, platter. But a flat piece of wood is not makabel tuma. So she puts it on a kvisha or on a board, on an anchuta. She then moves the piece that she removed up close to the dough, because you're supposed to take off truma and challah only from something that is next. It has to be menam mukaf. So she's makefet. She puts them next to each other. And then she says, this is challah. How can she do that? Well, because, after all, a shlishi is Torah b'chulin. And the din of the tful yom over here is that a tful yom is going to make, really, a shlishi, but that didn't affect the chulin that she made at all before. So basically nothing is tameh. And now she's not going to be touching the truma because she's keeping her hands off of it. That's why we put it on a board, to make sure that she doesn't actually touch the stuff. Now this is outrageous, because i'amrit chulin atfulin l'chala, if the correct interpretation of the Mishnah above was that once it's already chayev and chala, so you have chala inside of it, so now the whole dough is considered to be tvulin l'chala, if the din is that you're right and that it's kechala damu, so for God's sake, she was already matami it. What are you telling me? Okay, make sure that you take it off, and then you call it chala. Because if you didn't call it chala while it was touched betum, everything is okay. I thought that the very fact that the chala is in it means it's tummy, so it's already ruined. What good does it do to set it aside and afterwards call it chala if for all intents and purposes the chulin already was chala? So this doesn't make any sense. Hatamitino, she already made it tummy. Omar Abaye, because you don't understand. Here we're talking about something that if it were Vadai Tameh, it would be Metameh Chulin. We had a Suffolk, we said. If we knew for a fact that it was Tameh, then it would be Metameh even Chulin. Okay, where something would be Metameh Chulin if it was Vadai, then we make a Gezerah that if it's not Vadai and it's a Suffolk, You have to treat chulin atfulin lechala kechala. But a tful yom can never be betami chulin. By definition, chulin is not makabel tuma from a sheni. Therefore, since the tful yom kiva de lo metame, even when it's a vadai, it's not metame chulin, so there lo guzer lo mishum chulin atfulin lechala. Remember that wherever we're dealing with chulin, technically speaking, what do I care what's going to come out of it? Bottom line is, it's really chulin. You're telling me the guy is imagining, well, I want it to be a star as if it were truma. Fine, thank you. But it isn't. It's chulin. So the point is, there has to be some mechanism. The mechanism would be like this. Since if it were vadai tamei, it would have been affected, even though in reality it's chulin. So if you have a suffix, will allow you to be machmer, even though it's only chulin, to pretend that it's vadai. And that it's really tamei. But if even if it were vada, you wouldn't have been able to be a tamei chulin either. So how can we pretend that something that's chulin is not chulin? There's no mechanism to be metame yet. So you can't compare the case of the tful yom, where over there, the tful yom wouldn't have been able to be metame chulin no matter what, to the case of the suffix that we had over here. What do you mean, if a guy really did lean on a zav, my God, is it totally tamei? Of course it would be metame chulin. Over there will be machmir. Now, we finally get to the problem. Here's the kasha, and this is why we went through all of this. A nida, a real nida, vada nida, is she metame chulin? You're darn right she is. She's an avatuma. And yet, we said that me'et le'et shebenida, we're over there, a vada nida, of course, is metame chulin. And you said that lo gazru al sveika, wasn't that what we said? That was the whole terrace that Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak gave yesterday. That yes, Ravuna is right, that Be'eshe Shebenida affects a Tchulin Shenazor Ataris HaKedesh, but does not affect Tchulin Shenazor Ataris Truma. But the answer of Abaye you don't have for that case, because Anida would certainly affect Tchulin. So then that would mean that Tchulin Shenazor Ataris Chala or Truma, which is the same exact thing, should be affected by Me'eshe Le'eshe Shebenida. Because in this case, a suffix, which had it been a diorita, would have been metamei chulin, a vadai, would have been metamei chulin, does affect the case of the chala, which we think is the same case, because we're going to treat this chulin as if it's chala, since the chala is in the chulin and is ultimately meant to be taken out of it. Right? Is this clear, or looking very confused?
It's a little complex. But I mean, yeah.
Okay, why don't we start then from the beginning? Let's make it very clear. I'm sorry, I'm just not communicating properly. We said yesterday that we have four layers of tuma, and the din of suffik tuma, called me'es le'es shebenida, will not affect chulin shenasu al tairis truma. Now, from this point on, chulin shenasu al tairis truma and chulin shenasu al tairis chala are exactly the same. Because chala is called ratius, it has exactly the same denim of truma. So that, forget about it. Chala, truma, don't get confused by it. Now, we've opened up by discussing a Mishnah that says that if you have dough, even though you haven't taken chala out of it, that dough, for all intents and purposes, has to be treated as if it's kodesh for chala, because you're going to be taking chala out of it. Now, that seems to be saying that because I know that it has to be treated properly, even though it's chulin, it has to be treated as if it's chala, as the same thing as chala. That's what it seems to be saying. Which means that it's precisely the case that Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak was talking about. Fine, so far so good, with no objections. He was talking about the din of suffik nida. We're talking over here about some other stuff, nothing to do with him. The Mishnah clarifies, the Braita clarifies on that Mishnah, that the type of suffix that we're talking about is, that where this is a Kiddush, is the suffix where I'm not even sure that any tumah occurred at all, that there was any tumah present in the issue at all. The case of Nish'an. So far, still so good. The problem was that then we came along to a case where we had a Mishnah that tells us that a woman who's at Tvulas Yom, well, over there's Ivan a suffix, she's Vadai Metame Truma, can actually, has no problem in making dough cutting off a piece to use for challah, but not saying it's challah yet, putting that piece on a container, not a container, a flat board, that won't be mekabel tumah, and then stay away from it, sliding the board next to the dough, and say, this shall be challah. And that's fine, as long as she doesn't touch it. Which is crazy. I mean, I thought we just said, you have to be very careful not to be metameh yet. Answered the Gemara, well, says Abaye, well, listen, this is ingenious, really. Because remember that you think that, well, I mean, if she's avadai tumei tefilas yom, she's even worse than the case of the suffix tumah that we had before. But that's not true. That's not true. You know why? Because we're trying to say that the tumah that is in her is going to affect the chulin that has challah in it. But it has to affect chulin that has challah in it. But tefilas yom cannot affect chulin ever. So because of that, even though it's vaday tameh, but it's not included in the takona of chulin hatfula lechala. Mashenka, in the case we said before, even though they're suffic, had they been real tuma, they would have affected chulin. So the din of chulin shadasu al tairas chala, or chulin hatfula lechala, which we're assuming is the same thing, is going to be susceptible to that, because that's what we're going to make the mechanism. It's only a suffix. Normally we would say it's okay, but in this case, since Labaisa, it's challah in it, and it's tefillin lechallah, so even this chulin should be tummy, because we'll treat it as if it's vaday, and as a vaday, we metame chulin. Brilliant answer. Really beautiful answer. The only problem is that it creates an issue with Rav Shmuel Bar Rabbi Yitzchak that we had yesterday. Because Rav Shmuel Bar Rabbi Yitzchak said that the suffix tumah me'esli es of anida, and this is the way he got out of the problem that Ravuna had with the Braita. He said that the Braita that said it does not affect truma didn't mean it doesn't affect truma. It meant it doesn't affect truma, meaning chulin shenasu al tairas truma, which we're assuming is the same thing as chulin that is tefillin lechala. But the problem is, we just said that since if it were a vadai now, a vadai nida certainly affects chulin, and we said since if it were a vadai, it would affect chulin. So in that case, if you have chulin that is tovel for tachala, it should affect it. So how do you explain? Now, this seems to run counter to everything that we said yesterday in Rav Shmuel Bar Rabbi Yitzchak. Answers the Gemara. Yeah. Let's just see that in the question. The case of Mi'ez Leisha Benida, which is the Vaday, would certainly be Matame Chulin. And nonetheless, we said yesterday that they were not Gezer on that because of Chalat Vulin Lechala, because after all, the Omar, yes, Ruchuba Rabbi Yitzchak was Bekabel Minei, that this is a serious problem, the Bright, and he explained it. How did he explain it? That what it really meant was not Chulin. Not truma, but chulin shenasu al tairas hakodesh, lo chulin shenasu al tairas truma. So now, this doesn't add up. Either Rav Huna was wrong, because the explanation of Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak is wrong, and that braita is saying the opposite then of what this is saying. Or your explanation is wrong. Says the Gemara, this entire thing is based on a misunderstanding. You are assuming that the reason that chulin hatfulin lechala is considered to be mekabel tumah in cases where there would be a vadai that could be metame chulin, is because for all intents and purposes it's the equivalent of chulin shenasu al tairas truma. That is wrong, because the case of chulin that is tovel lechala is more chomer than chulin shenasu al tairas chala. Chulin shenasu al tairas chala doesn't really have any chala in it. It's just that we're acting out as if. So a Kohen wants to get used to the idea that no tumah is allowed in his house. So he says, look, I don't care what it is. It could be a bottle of Coke. I don't care what it is. Nothing is going to touch anything in my home that could possibly be gerem a tumah shlishi, if this were truma. Obviously, it isn't really truma. Now, there, it will not be affected, exactly as Rav Shmuel Bar Rabbi Yitzchak said. This imaginary status will not be affected by the Mi'ez Leisha Benida. But when you're talking about a regular guy who's got challah that is going to have to be taken off, there's no question, this is not my imagination. In this dough, somehow or other lies a piece of challah. I just haven't defined which part of the dough is the challah. Now that's not my imagination, that's real. In that case, I have to be more machmer. It's not just an arbitrary determination by a guy who says, in my house, nobody touches the Coke. There's really challah here. So chulin atzulin lechala is not a good way to ask a question on Rav Shmuel bar Rabbi Yitzchak. Did I ever say that it wouldn't affect the case of tefillin lechala? All I said was it won't affect of nasu al tairis chala. It's not the same thing at all. Therefore, answers the Gemara, well, there's no comparison. Hatam lo p'ticha b'hu truma. There's no truma mixed in here. There's just a guy's imagination. But in this case, where it's tefillin lechala, which is truma, p'ticha b'hu truma, there's actual truma here, in reality, mixed in it. Over there, if truma bar b'yitzchak would be made of that, ain't hachinami. Meis leisha b'nida would affect that.
Truma being lechala.
Yeah, truma, that's why I said, start with the assumption that truma lechala is the same thing. Or, you know what? There may be a whole different approach to this. We said yesterday, one of the issues that we said yesterday is we do not list, in the first Pshat Ravuna, we do not list the Dinam Yes Leisha Benida in the Mishnah in Chagiga that talks about Mala B'Kodesh. Why? Because it's a fake out. Because it has nothing to do with Tuma. Well, that's the same answer over here. What are you asking me about the Suffolk Yes Leisha Benida? It's the Gzeira B'Alma. You're trying to affect the standards of Tuma. You're going to apply the standards of Tuma. To Me'esei Shabanita? It isn't a din in Tuma. It's a takona of the Darabonim to pretend that there's Tuma. That's not the same. So even though it's Vadai would in fact have affected Chulin, so this is not a suffix of that Vadai. This is a new din that we're pretending is a suffix on that Vadai. But we know because of all of the reasons that we said before. A, Isha Margisha Batsman. If she's not Margisha Batsman, so it isn't really Tuma anyway. B, if it would have been down there, it would have fallen out before. C, at the time in which I'm being Isaac in it, there's no basis for me to be chayish anything. I can't know the future. All these other cases of Suffolk are sveikas that I have now. So they are machayev me. They are machayev me to act in accordance with the Suffolk that I'm supposed to be aware of. By definition, a retroactive Suffolk is not something that I can be expected to act out on. So because of all of these reasons, we can't treat it as a standard Suffolk tuma. Therefore, you cannot ask a question from the particular case that we're pretending is called Suffolk tuma, Meisle Shemanita, to other questions of Suffolk tuma. So Gemara has now successfully weaned us of all of our initial assumptions. We opened up and we're really learning these dinim from Saita and we're really trying to make an afkamina between these cases and the dinim of Chazaka. And all of that was a fake out. Because in reality, all that we were looking for was a way to justify a takana that is really made up out of whole cloth. Which, at last, has clarified enough to move on to the next mission. So, Doc, you're going to have to do the Zok Tehillah Kamishna thing. That was good. Richie, you got a real challenge.
Well, good, Richie.
Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer Omer. Now this is the sheet that we've discussed many times in the course of dealing with the first Mishnah, that Rabbi Eliezer says, actually, Arba Nashim Dayan Shata. There are four women who are considered to be Misula Kotam and do not have to be Cheshish that they were ever Rayadam before. So if there's dam here, no, what can you do? But certainly I'm not going to be machber with my takana to say they should be tamil mafreya. A betula, now even though normally betula means a virgin, that's not what it means here. The word betula is often used, even in English, as virginous timber, virginous land. In other words, something that this particular event has never occurred to before. We use that also as the meaning of betula. In this case, it's a betula damim. In other words, she has never, ever before had her menses. That's all that it means. A miuberet, where now she's pregnant, and therefore it's considered to be misuleket damim. A menika, where because of the fact that she's nursing, is also misuleket damim. And we will see whether that means in a moment. Does that mean she's currently nursing, or she is within the 24-month period in which we would normally have the hormonal control of no dam during nursing? And is it kedam, which again we take to mean literally a postmenopausal woman who is already too old to conceive. Omer Rabbi Yehoshua, so Rabbi Yehoshua says, I don't know where you get that from, man. Ani lo shamati ela betula. I mean, I also learned these halachas The only one of them that I ever heard about was the case of the Betulah who had never been Rei Adam before. Continues the time of the Mishnah to say, it's all very nice for Rabbi Yoshua to say that, Aval Halakhak Rabbi Eliezer. Lamaisa we paskin like Rabbi Eliezer in this, and the reason we need to say this is because remember that Rabbi Eliezer is a serious problem. Personally, he's a serious problem. Because he was the one that was arguing on everybody by the famous case of Tanur Shel Achanai, and they had to do horrible things to him, to put him into Nidui because he wouldn't accept Halakha. And so where you do have a Halakha like Rabbi Eliezer, we want to state, we paskin like Rabbi Eliezer. We'll see more about that in the Mishnah. Now, let us define our terms. We have four terms here. What are the terms? Betula. Ezoi betula, what do I mean by that word? I mean nothing to do with marriage or anything. It's kol shelo ra'atam dam yameha afa pishin nesua. She may not be a betula. She may have been married for 10 years, but she got married at 3 or whatever. So she's too young to be Rei Adam. Had never yet been Rei Adam. She's certainly not a betula, but she's a betula vis-a-vis dam. When I say a me'uberet, what I mean is that mi she yivada ubra. I do not mean that she got back a pregnancy test. I mean that she's 3 months pregnant and is noticeably pregnant. Now, whether that's true bizman hazeh is a big question. Because bizman hazeh, it's the moment that you'll get back a result of a pregnancy test. The fact that she's really misuleket bamim. Okay, so the post can take that into consideration, bizman hazeh. At what point is she considered to be misuleket? Legabi achshash of ri'ya. And the menika. So the menika would mean until such time as she weans her child. Ad shetigmol et bina. But had she either weaned the child or given the child to a wet nurse, matna bina lamineket, or gimalato, or if the child died, and now she's not actively nursing, so over there, Rabbi Meir says, so she's no longer menika. If she's no longer menika, she no longer can be assumed to be misuleket tamim, and because of that, she's betamim immediately ate like anybody else. Whereas the chachamim say, not true. She remains dayashaita the entire 24 months postpartum. And what do we mean, our fourth term? What do we mean when we say zikena? A zikena means kosh avru ala shalosh anot samuch lezikenata. Once she has established that she's already missed 3 periods in a row, at an age where she would be assumed to actually be near menopause, and we're going to discuss what that means, is it okay now? That is misalik dami. Rabbi Eliezer Omer has nothing to do with her age. The fact is that any woman who misses 3 periods, kol isha shavru ala shalosh onot, is essentially defined as a chazaka, that she's not going to be Rei Adam. So it has nothing to do with how old she is. The word zekena is just sort of a model for that kind of case, because a zekena has gone through 3 periods that she missed, but it doesn't have to be a zekena. Rabbi Yossi Omer, both of you are wrong. All of the cases that were stated above need to establish a chazaka that they're misuleket dami. It's not enough to know for a fact that she's pregnant or that she's nursing. That is not enough. You have to have also established the meineket and the uberet have to have established a chazaka that they missed 3 periods. So obviously only a meineket and a uberet, not any woman. So I'm arguing Reb Eliezer, but I'm also arguing the chachamim. I argue in everybody. So only if there's a missing of 3 periods, and the woman who's missing the 3 periods is also pregnant. Or she's also nursing. But Stam, a woman who's not.
So Zekena, does he hold?
No, Zekena, he's saying that we're going to see. Muber to Meneket, he's saying that's where he may agree that that defines Zekena. Fine. But here we're talking about where there's 2 elements. There's the missing of the dam, and then there's the situation that has. Mm. But clearly, it's not any woman, so it's not going to be Rabbi Eliezer. It would have to be a Zekena Mamish. Now, when we say that such a woman is dayashata, Norma Amru dayashata, when she has a period after our assumption that she's not going to have a period, so that first time that she's Rei Adam, we say, okay, this is unexpected, and therefore she's not going to be Matam immediately 8. But the second time, it's like, hey, who are you kidding? She obviously did something wrong with the hormonal control of this woman, even though she's nursing, she's already gotten her period back. So the second time, we would be Matam her. B'shniya Matam immediately 8. If, however, there is a way to account for the first Re'iyah, So let's say she did really serious exercise, you know, or had taken some medication, or anything that might have triggered a re'iyah, despite the fact that she was mesulekit damim, then we do not assume that this is an indication that her periods are back. So in that case, if she was ra'ata rishona mi'ones, if we can attribute the re'iyah to something, so then even the second time would be da'ashad.
Do we really force that as a reality? As like a chazaka? So we need something of substance that rooted from that given state.
Yeah, but that's machlokus. Do we also need the chazaka?
So this last opinion, why would two be enough? We need maybe three, not two. The three to uproot a chazaka, that is.
Because we don't have the chazaka. In other words, what we're doing is we're constantly relying on the fact that we see that her status has changed, but now we see her status hadn't changed. What you want to do is you want to ask from here on the Inyanim of Veset, which the Gemara is going to do later. We'll see. But right now we don't know from this. Tanya Amarlo Reb Eliezer Reb Yeshua. You know, what kind of statement is that? I didn't hear anything except Betula. That's so nice that you didn't hear. And therefore you're asking on me, so how come I know more than you? That's really a wonderful question. You know, so you didn't hear, and I did hear. So you're coming to tell me, well, I didn't hear, so you must be wrong. Does that make sense? Ata lo shamata, but I did. Ata lo shamata ela achat, and I heard four. Ani shamati harbe. That's great. So I guess according to you, when we want to determine whether the new moon has been seen, let's find someone who didn't see it, bring him into Beis Din, and say, I didn't see a new moon. And therefore, it's not Rosh Chodesh. It's brilliant. Last I heard, we try to find somebody who did see the moon. We bring the guy who did see the moon, and he says, I saw it. So, what are you arguing with me about? So, Ein Omrim L'Misha Lo Ra'ah Tachodesh Yavo V'Ya'id. We tell the guy, L'Misha Ra'ah Chodesh Yavo V'Ya'id. This is something Naftali would say. Now, the truth is that as long as Rabbi Eliezer was alive, nobody followed his psak in this. They all were doing like Rabbi Yeshua. Only a betula, not a meneket, not. But after he died, then Rabbi Yeshua himself said, he's absolutely right. I mean, the fact that I don't know something is not a reason to paskin like me. So therefore, he exir Rabbi Yeshua the davar liyoshno, and that was like Rabbi Eliezer. So then, that's crazy. So when Rabbi Eliezer was alive, why didn't they want to follow him? So Rabbi Eliezer b'chayav by time alone? No, because you see, Rabbi Eliezer was a shamuti. Now Rashi was learned shamuti means he was put into chayav, which as Tosfos points out really is irrelevant. I mean, why wouldn't we follow the halacha just because he was put in the chayav? The point of his being shamuti is shamai, shamuti as a member of Beit Shammai. So, as the Mishnah Sharma explains, the machlokas of Shammai the Hillel was a disaster for Klal Yisrael. The fact that we had split up into two camps, Beit Shammai, Beit Hillel, was a disaster of the first order, and that's why the Mishnah in Bracha says, "Kedaya yitel achuv ba'atzmecha." You deserve to die because you're being machmer to go like Beit Shammai. What are you being machmer? It's all very nice to be machmer and destroy all of Klal Yisrael. We don't need those skumras. So because Rabbi Eliezer was such a great man, but followed the Piskei Halachas of Beit Shammai, so he would be irresistible. Everybody would start doing whatever Rabbi Eliezer said. He was head and shoulders above everybody else. But we had already made a takona that the halachas kebeis Hillel, and that's it. And that Beit Shammai b'mokum Beit Hillel ain't a Mishnah. So now I'm going to have like Gadol Hador, who's passing like Beit Shammai, and we accept this psak here as people say, I mean, come on, you know, why aren't we passing like him in everything? So what are we going to do about that? We're going to go what? We're going to say, hey, you can't passing like him. That's what you're going to say while he's alive? You're going to be pogea in him and say, don't paskin like him. So, Mimela, we have to avoid a situation in which people are going to start banging on his door and getting piskei halachas. So we just say, listen, you know, you see that because we don't never paskin like Beit Shammai, so we understand kol hakavod, but we don't paskin like Beit Shammai. But the moment that you would open up the door to paskin like him in this, some people will paskin like him in everything. So while he was alive, and it would be a pigiyah for us to say, hey, you can only listen to this, not to that. Right, we're not going to do him while he's alive. But now that he died, we're going to say, okay, fine. Look, we pass like Reb Eliezer in A, B, C, and D, and we're going to go through what the A, B, C, and D are in a moment, and but not in anything else. So now we'll be following the actual halacha. So therefore, Mishun to Reb Eliezer Shamutiu, V'sovar Iabdin and Kavatei Bechor, Reb Yeshua figured that if we're going to accept that such a fundamental halacha, that we're following Reb Eliezer, so everybody's going to follow him across the board. So what are we going to do about that? Mishum kvodo de Reb Eliezer, we can't tell people otherwise. Lo matzid el matchin el lugu, we can't be meicha. Hey, what are you doing? You can't follow Reb Eliezer. We're not going to say that. But liachar patira tosh Reb Eliezer, we're over there. We can tell people, listen, we paskin only in this. You must not follow Reb Eliezer and these other things. And therefore, matzino mechina bu, we could actually protest that they're doing the wrong thing. At that point, exirat adavar liyoshna, we put it back to the way it should have been, which we should have been following him all along. Om Rebbe Yonah Mishma, Alka Rebbe Yezer B'Arva. There are actually four cases where we paskin like Rebbe Yezer. One is the one that we just said, which is the Arba Nashim Dayan Shatan. One of them, Idak, the other case, also has to do with the Dinim of Nidais, and that is Hamikasher Kama Tishpa V'tehi Zava. Well, but then the halakha is like this. Let's say that a woman had been Reyadam, and she is now past her 7 days of Tuma, and she's in the middle of her 11 days of Zivais, but she's pregnant, and she's at the end of her pregnancy. She delivers during those 11 days, and she has been bleeding for 3 days straight, accompanied by labor pains. The fact that she was accompanied by labor pains mean that that bleeding is not attributed to Zivas. It's just regular Tumas Leda. And she's not considered to be a Yoledet B'Zov. She's not a Zov. However, if after those 3 days, the labor stops, and now, 3 days later, which is still a continuation, we would think, of the original labor. 3 days later, it starts up again. And now she delivers. Then we say, oh, no, no, no. Those original 3 days of bleeding were not part of her delivery. Because they're part of her delivery, it wouldn't have stopped now in the middle. But for how long wouldn't it have stopped in the middle? I mean, certainly there are let-ups in the labor process. So what would be, that's called shofui, but what would be the amount of time that is necessary for her to be shofei, that there should be no pain, and that would prove that her bleeding was zivas, v'tehi zava. So Rebbe Eliezer says the shear is 24 hours. Rebbe Yeshua there also argues and says it has to be a full day and a full night, and it's not from one point to the next point in the clock. And there we also prescribe Rebbe Eliezer. That's number two. Halacha kedvarav. The third case is, and this is a case that is very nogea bizman hazeh, if a zav or a zava, and remember we treat nowadays every nida as a zava. So the ikar halacha of keeping shivat nekiyim is to be checked every single day and to make sure that there was no further ri'iyah. This is true either of a male or a female. Same halacha. She's supposed to check herself every day for bleeding. So now, what if she didn't? Maybe she made a hefsek tira, and she was bedek herself the first day, and she was tahor. Then she forgot to do a bedikah for the next 5 days, and now she's on the seventh day, and she's bedek herself again, and she's tahor. But she forgot to do the bedikah the rest of the day. Sharei yamim lo batku. So Rebbe Eliezer says, look, it doesn't matter, because she's established her tira up at the beginning. At the end, she's shown that there hasn't been any change in that status. And therefore, we can assume that she was tahora the entire day, the entire 7 days, and she's now becheskes tira, and she cannot go to Rebbe. Rebbe Yoshua says, no, she only has the 2 days that she had actually checked herself, not the middle days. Now this, on the surface, makes absolutely zero sense, because the din of the 7 days is that it has to be 7 consecutive days of Tahira. So how can you possibly say, let's count 1 and 7? I mean, the most you can do is count 7. How do you include 1? So the truth is that Rabbi Yeshua really is inconsistent. The reason that Rabbi Yeshua paskins this is because he holds that Mi'ikar Hadin, Rabbi Yeshua's, that Rabbi Eliezer is 100% correct. She did establish it. But since we were mitaken that she has to check every day, so any day that she doesn't check, we're going to force her to keep another day. But in reality, I mean, we're counting all of the days. We're just sort of pretending that we've added days. So she has 2 days, and let her keep adding. It's weird, but we accomplish our goal. Rabbi Akiva says, no, man, let's be consistent. If Lamaisa were not counting the all 7 days, then we can only count the last day. So Ein la ela yom ha-shvi bilva. Now, Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yossi say that the truth is that Rabbi Eliezer makes the most sense here. Nirin divrei Rabbi Eliezer more than Rabbi Yoshua, but actually, Rabbi Akiva makes the most sense, because if you're supposed to be Baidik and you weren't Baidik, so just count the last day. But nonetheless, we paskin like Rabbi Eliezer. Okay, that's case number three. Which, of course, this does point out as tremendous application nowadays, because this happens all the time. So a woman will skip a day of her bedikas, but she was bodekas. And then there's a whole question to Rishonim, whether she really needs both of the days. Okay, but that's something else. We'll see later on. What's the fourth case? V'idach. T'tznan achorei kelim shenitim u'bamashkin. Before we begin this case, we need a little bit of an intro. And that is this. Normally, kelim are only mekabel tuma from an av hatuma. Therefore, by definition, they will never be makabel tuma from mashkin. Why? Because mashkin cannot be an avatuma. The thing is, however, there are things that look like mashkin, but aren't mashkin. When I say mashkin, I mean the seven mashkin. You're familiar with the seven mashkin, with the acronym for the seven mashkin, right? Yad Dam Shachat. People say it in a different order, but this is the best order. Because if you say Yad Dam, then the Dalet has two meanings, Dvash and Dam, but Dvash Dvorim, so that you don't get confused with fig juice or day juice. So therefore you get the double simon from the Dalet. Okay, so those are the seven mashkim. What are they? Yayin is considered to be Dvash and Dam, Dvash meaning the Dvash Dvorim. Then we have water itself, right? What did I say? Yad?
Dvash Dam.
No.
Yad dam.
Shachat. Okay, so we have shemen, chalav, and tal. We consider tal to be a separate mashkin, stammai. That's mashkin. So those are the only things we've accomplished to. You cannot be metame orange juice. Unless, of course, it's mixed with water. But orange juice is not a mashkin. Okay. But there are things that look like mashkin. They look like water, but they aren't water. How about the urine of a zov? How about some dribble from the mouth of a zav? So this would be metami b'diraisa, not as a mashkin, that's an avatuma, mashkin of a zav. So in that case, because it's easy to confuse, the rabbanim made a gezeira, mashkin can be metami. Not only that, mashkin will always be metami. But if mashkin are always metami, so the people are going to end up burning truma v'katcha because of it. So therefore they created an insane case. And they said, mashkin are always metame, but they're only metame the side of the kli that they touch, which is nonsensical, except they found a smach from it in kli cheres, because the kli cheres will only be mekabel tumah from inside, not be mekabel tumah from outside. So therefore they said, okay, so there is such a concept of separating an outside from an inside. Therefore, mashkin that touch the outside of a kli, the inside remains tar. So, here we get into a situation where Achore Kalim, the outside of a kli, was tummy, b'mashkin, says Rabbi Eliezer, okay, what's the level of the tuma that's on that back of the kli? What's the din? The din is that only liquids that touch that kli are going to become tummy, but foodstuffs that touch that kli will not even become pusle. Note the difference in the words. So remember that the word tame means, by definition, you only refer to tuma if it's able to be detectably tuma on a tuma at the Geiger counter. So if something emits tuma, it's called tame. If something has been affected by tuma but can't emit tuma, then it's called pasul. Right? Okay, so in this case, mashkin are always, and that's part of the gzera. If mashkin are mekabel tuma, they're never pasul. They always automatically become a rishon l'tuma. And that's because of our gzera. On the other hand, ochlin, which will not become tuma at all, won't even be pasul. So they're not, they are metame mashkin, they're not even posel ochel. When we say the metame mashkin, we mean even chulin. When we say they won't posel ochel, we mean even truma. Rabbi Yoshua says, no way. This is Rabbi Eliezer Shita. Rabbi Yoshua says, metam inetam mashkin, you're right about that, but they do posel ochel. And I'll prove it to you, says Rabbi Yeshua. I'm Rabbi Yeshua, Kal v'chomer. Take a tful yom, okay? A tful yom is not metame mashken of chulin. Because, as we said before, by definition, he's a sheni latuma and only creates a shlishi. But chulin is impervious to a sheni latuma. And therefore, he doesn't affect chulin at all, even though he is a tuma d'oraita. So if a tful yom is not metame mashke chulin, nonetheless, if there's foodstuffs of truma, he will pasul, again, by definition, because the sheni is pasul's truma. So, kol shekein achore kelin, well, you're admitting that it's metame mashkin, even mashkin of chulin. So how can you say it's not going to be metame achulin of truma? That's ridiculous. Eino metame. It's not going to even pasul the achulin of truma? And what's Rabbi Eliezer's response to that? Ach! Achore kelim is the Rabbanan. The whole thing is only Rabbanan. And a tful yom is a d'oraita. And the way in which the Rabbanan set up this takana is that it violates any norms anyway. You can't, nobody's making a kal v'chomer from d'oraita to Rabbanan. There's no such thing. Rabbanan d'oraita, lo avdin a kal v'chomer. Because, I mean, if you want to start applying the din of the d'oraita here, you could throw out the whole thing. D'oraita, eichlin can't be metame akli, because only an avatuba can be metame akli. Mashkin can't be metame akli. So if you want to start comparing the two, you might as well just throw out the whole halacha. The whole point over here is the Rabbanan, where Gozer Xera, that create a weird situation that Mashkin, which are not even really a Rishon LeTumah, will pretend they're Rishon LeTumah, but a Rishon LeTumah can't be Metame Kalim, will pretend it's Metame Kalim, or at least Achori Kalim. So why did we do that? Mishum Mashkin is Zav Zav. So therefore, they said, look, we want to make it very clear to people that we are not talking about something to burn Truma V'Kachimah. So that's why we create this whole weird thing that only the back of the kli is tummy. Everybody thinks, what? How's that possible? Oh, must be totally Rabbanan. Therefore, we also chose which objects are going to be affected by this tumah. So we say to ourselves like this, look, there's a major difference, midiraita, between mashkim and ochlin. What is that difference? Mashkim do not need hechsher. Ochlin are never going to be mekabel tumah unless they at first come in contact with water. Therefore, mashkin are always viewed as alulim lekabel tumah. They're much more vulnerable to tumah. So we'll make the gezeira that the achore kelim will affect those things which are vulnerable to tumah. And mashkin that are alulim lekabel tumah, gosubu rabbanim. So the rabbanim, that's where they applied the gezeira. Ochlim that are not alulim lekabel tumah, they lo gosubu rabbanan. And therefore, you cannot ask from this case on any other case. Okay, so we have now our four cases clear. So we started, case number one was the case in our Mishnah. The case in our Mishnah was the Arba Noshim Dayan Shatan. Halakha is like Rabbi Eliezer, even though in his lifetime we avoid, but that's the fact. Then we had the din of how much time is going to pass in order to establish that the original labor pains are not real labor pains, and the bleeding is considered to be real bleeding. We pass it like him also. It's a question of 24 hours. And then we had the question of whether, if you were Baidik only the first and the seventh, let's assume, the first and the seventh day, that is sufficient to establish the 7 days of Tahira for Azava or for Azav, Paskin like him, that it is. And the last case that we had was this very interesting case of Achore Kelim, that over there the Rabbanu made a Takana, which seems very strange, and they made it to be strange, so that people would be able to be Mechalik between this Tuma and Tuma of real Mashkin, which are Tame, which would only be body exusions of some kind, which are going to be tummy, but they might be confused with water or something. So therefore, in order to make sure that it's different, so we made a takana that only the back is tummy of the kli, and that it's only going to be tummy mashkin, the back of that kli, because mashkin are alulim the kabel tuma, and the other things which are ochlin are not affected at all, even to become pasul. That's where we had left. Now, The question is that when we talk about Achorei Kelim, why do we talk only about the case of Achorei Kelim? Because, I mean, Mashkin are not only Metame Achorei Kelim. It's just that the difference that expresses that this is not a Diorita comes out in the fact that Achorei Kelim will not affect Toch Kelim. But if the Mashkin had landed in the Toch of the Kli, of course it will be Metame the Kli. So why we choose only the back end? They could have said the Toch too. Yes, the Gemara said, why did we choose Davka Mashna Achorei Kelim Danaka? Because it really is limited to Achorei Kelim. Because Achorei Kelim are more kal, Rebbe Eliezer wouldn't have been that makel. It's Achorei Kelim are kili. Why are they kili? Because Lamaisa, we learned it's not a kli shenitma ba'achorav memashkin. The din of a kli that touched mashkim rishon to the back of it, the din is that only achorav is tamei. But not only is the toch not tamei, the handle. What's the difference between a round pitcher handle and an extended handle on a frying pan? Is there a different way of saying that in English? I don't know if there's a way to say it. Okay, so the ozen means an ear. In other words, a rounded pitcher holder, which looks like an ear on the kli, and an actual yad is a long extension. Like a hand. All right, so it's handle, so you'll handle it with the hand, or you'll pick it up by its ears, so to speak. So the din over there is the inside is not tummy. The ozen is not tummy. Is not tummy. And then where it goes around, there's a little edge around the top. And on the other hand, if the toch becomes tummy, then kulo would be tummy. Then everything would be tummy. So because of that, we don't have the kula that we said before. So toch kelim, once we're going to be machmet, say nitma toch or nitma kulo, over there Rebbe Eliezer's motto that we are not machalik between the Eichlin and the Mashkin, and the Eichlin will become psulim, and everybody would agree with Rabbi Yeshua. So this is a very specific case. Okay, so now Shmuel has added up these four cases. We now understand the four cases. What exactly did Shmuel think he was accomplishing by adding up three cases where either in a Mishnah or a Braita it says V'halacha k'Rebbe Eliezer? Now, yeah, look, it's true that one of these cases that's missing in the Braita, or even though it isn't really, but it should be, apparently, missing in the Braita. And that was the Chitain. I know what you're going to tell me. You're going to tell me the case of Achorei Kelim. It doesn't say in the Tosefta that the halakha is like Rebbe Eliezer, which means ignore that part of the Tosefta where it says that obviously somebody inserted it. And maybe Delotnan, since it's not said by a Tana, so Memele Shmuel felt that he wants to say all four cases, but that's ridiculous. Because if that's the point, he only needed to say that case. He should have said, oh, by the way, that the halakha is like Rebbe Eliezer, Be'achorei Kelim. I mean, well, yes, tell us our Mishnah. The Mishnah says that look is like Rebbe Eliezer. Even though Rebbe Yeshua argues that look Rebbe Eliezer, that's the first line on the page here, right? Avala look Rebbe Eliezer. Eloka Mashmalan. The wonderful, wonderful Kiddush is that Eila made him aloka mi bitamut. Never rely on a Tana to tell you what the halakha is. Because Talmud of the Tanaim is not meant to be taken as a final word. It's not the equivalent of a Stam Mishnah, where we have a psak, basically, of the Beit Din HaAcharon of Klal Yisrael at that time, and then we wouldn't have been chelik on it. We always look for a Stam Mishnah, things like that. But where we have a psak, Halacha Kit, that is said by Eitana, it isn't meant to be an analysis of all of the Shitot and a final definition, the way the Amoraim set out to compare all the various sources. And as you went later in the generations, they got more and more of these sources clear. It was basically their first take on the approach of what was ever local, their own pshat that they had, the pshat of those that had spoken to them, but it was not meant to be a universal pshat.
The halacha is always like the later generations who've had the opportunity to see more data, listen to more. Don't. So where it says hilchata, that doesn't mean anything. Therefore, Shmuel says, oh, by the way, in these cases, it's true, the halacha is like that. Even in until my time, halacha is like that.
Hilchata pre-reviewed.
Hmm?
Hilchata pre-reviewed after.
Yeah, exactly.